we are.
Recording. Jim and the Great Beyond, the story of Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman, and a very special contractually avoid mention of Tony Clifton.
Jim and Andy, for short.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Sherita. How are you?
Not too bad.
How was your week?
Good now, I have to say. Very exciting. Very busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was down in my cousin's house. Well, before we get into that,
yes,
this is Docs That Rock, and this is the weekly podcast in which we review documentaries. And this week, we will be reviewing Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond.
And we generally review docs that we love, but sometimes we review docs that we feel differently about.
Sometimes we do.
Yes, but mostly they rock.
Yes, mostly they really do. Mm-hmm. Other times, they're crocs.
Not so much.
So, how was the week?
Good.
I can't unclick the pen.
Good. All is well. It was a good week. Preparing for the Literature Festival here in Galway, Cuirch. And yeah, it's lots of fun.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, the story of Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman, and a very special contractually obliged mention of Tony Clifton.
Yes. It's a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, I know. Straight off the bat, I've appreciated Jim Carrey as an actor for a long time. But this documentary is not so much a love letter to Andy Kaufman as it is to Jim Carrey's acting from Jim Carrey.
I don't know. I think it's an homage to Andy Kaufman. Firstly, this was recorded during filming many years before.
Yeah.
And then it was put together, found and put together for this movie. So probably everyone had forgotten about it. It actually was recorded as part of their EPK.
Their Instead electronic
of... it was their EPK.
Yeah, yeah.
Electronic press kit. Mm-hmm. So, which is something I do actually.
That, oh.
Yeah.
Powerhouse Media,
I believe. Powerhouse Media West. Yeah, yes. We go on set and film actors on set. And you know, and you do have to be careful because most actors hate it. So obviously we don't hate us because we do it very nicely and friendly. But and you just don't get in the way. That's the rule. But for this one, Jim Carrey said, I don't want an EPK. I don't want people shoving cameras in my face, talking to me while I'm getting ready. So he brought in his own idea of this EPK, which eventually became this documentary.
The thing I like about this, though, is that the people that he brought in to do this non-EPK were Lynn Margain, mm-hmm. who was Andy Kaufman's girlfriend.
Yes.
Who's also a documentarian.
Yes.
And Bob Zuma, who collaborated with him, with Andy Kaufman as well, and a really good friend. So basically, that helped him to do something spectacular, which was become possessed by Andy Kaufman, Tony Clifton, and an array of characters.
Yes, well, he's very method in this, isn't he? He just goes
Complete
deep.
Method.
And yeah.
Apparently,
he goes deep. It all comes back to Andy, because Andy Kaufman was a legend in his own time. I mean, he used to spoof so well that people, when he died, people thought it was a prank.
Yeah.
They didn't believe that he had died. They thought he'd staged his own death. Mm-hmm. So that's how good he is. He was. Mm. Well, maybe he still is. And I remember watching him. I remember the Mighty Mouse skit.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Latka, obviously, on Taxi. And he just was so out there and crazy and weird. And I love comedy, as you know. I used to book comedy in New York, and I like those guys. I like the marginal guys. I don't really love the mainstream guys. And I'm saying guys, it's women and men, but the ones that are really push it to the edge, the ones that people are standing up and storming out of a gig, those are the gigs I love. Those are the gigs I go to. And I'll mention some of those comedians at the end, but I think, you know, for him to take on this role, he had to really go into Andy, and then it just got weirder and weirder.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that when you start reading the reviews and stuff, a lot of the reviews that I got at the time felt that maybe it wasn't true. Maybe he didn't actually stay in character the whole time. But there are articles from the time that would seem to suggest that, yes, he did, in fact, you know, stay in time. One of them was a Danny DeVito quote where he said that Jim Carrey only turned up for 2 days on set. The rest of the time it was Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton. You know, and I couldn't possibly imagine how crazy...
Part of the fun for me was watching Danny DeVito's reaction.
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti's reaction.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because they were just like, whoa.
Yeah, blown away and annoyed, mm-hmm. but also at the same time, just this is amazing. And even Lynn herself, you know, kind of like, it's like he's just in the room, you know, this kind of, it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, he was such a provocative character. But it had to be like that. If he didn't really go for it, he wasn't going to be Andy.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I kind of found, like, Jim Carrey himself is a genius. He's a mad genius, right? But there was a bit of this kind of a parallel between his career and Andy Kaufman's career, and the whole thing about, you know, I'm the guy who wrote himself a check for $10 million and then cashed it a couple of years later and this kind of stuff.
Oh no, he actually, do you know what he did with that check?
What did he do?
He wrote it and he gave himself 5 years to make. Now, he'd been sleeping in his car in Toronto.
Okay.
And he wrote a check to himself for $10 million and said, I'm going to give myself 5 years to make this.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, he had made The Mask, Ace Ventura. One more. So he had made all these movies. And he made $10 million. So, but his dad died just after the first movie came out. So he put the check in his pocket when he was buried.
Oh no! Mm. Why did you tell me that?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, but yeah, Tracy.
No, Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey. I think I love him because he's not the Jim Carrey that you see. I love that dark side of him. And I mean, he jokes about it. At one time he went to dinner with a director who wanted him for a movie, and he said, oh, you're so broken, please don't get well
before
we start shooting. It was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I love him.
So there were a few truths that came out in the downtime on this, whether he's speaking to camera or he's speaking as Andy. About Jim and Tony, about Jim.
Yeah, I really loved. See, there's something that happens to someone when they do something like this. But there was moments of when Jim Carrey was speaking about it much later, and obviously much transformed with this huge, fluffy beard and expensive looking jacket. You know, this kind of thing. And now you would see him now viewing it as a very serious actor, but at that time, he was Ace Ventura still in my head. Man on the Moon was the first time I actually saw him act in a drama role, you know, but it was still a comedy drama role, you know. But this was kind of, for me, his transitional film. It takes extreme emotional intelligence to be able to pull off comedy. It takes extreme emotional intelligence to be able to pull off acting. But there are moments in this where he's telling me about his emotional intelligence and his philosophy and stuff, where I was just, no, I can't. Do you know, and I do really like him, but there was just some of it I was kind of going, that just doesn't sit right. I think the Jesus Christ comment and stuff like that. But then I could also see that he was hamming it up, because Andy Kaufman would have totally loved that I came out of this documentary wondering if it was all real or if it was all made up.
That was his whole shtick. Yeah, especially on the Letterman show.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He'd go on and he'd beat people up.
And, yeah,
and he was the intergender wrestling champion.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler, the wrestler.
Yeah. The intergender one is, oh, beat up women.
I'd rather beat up women.
It's really so funny stuff.
It's hilarious.
I mean,
like,
provocative. He just provoked.
But he subverted.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, he talks about people wanting to be comfortable or just not caring. And what was very funny or very, like, you know, entertaining was when someone just didn't care. And he was absolutely right about that, like, but he in turn not really caring got people, you know, kind of. So I mean, even Man on the Moon, how Kaufman actually died, and there's a beautiful scene in it where he's telling those close to him that he's been diagnosed with lung cancer. And they're like, no, don't even joke about that. Like, that's not funny. Do you know?
I know.
And it's true. And like, you know, well, we don't know if it is or not, but you know, I mean, it probably was true and he probably did pass away. And
no,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But there was the most touching for me really were the moments where his family said, "You have got him down. Like, you've got the spirit of Andy."
Yeah.
That was really touching.
I found that, like, because he was a very nice man, or he was a very horrible man and a very kind of pompous man when he was Tony Clifton, I thought that what he did at the Playboy Mansion was absolute genius, where Jim Carrey had been invited to the Playboy Mansion, but Tony Clifton turned up. And Tony Clifton is outside and he's doing, you know, the Tony Clifton. And the security are like, "What's going on?" And somebody rings and says, "No, Tony Clifton will be going and you're supposed to let him in." So then he gets let in and then Jim Carrey turns up.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that Bob had dressed up and turned up as Tony Clifton that day. And there were some days where they kind of interchange it just to kind of mess with everyone's heads.
It was all messing.
So funny.
It is. It's really, really, really interesting.
There's lovely little moments in it, and rather than go through all of them, it's definitely worth watching, because, you know, you'd be so
there was one really funny line in it, and I won't get it right, but it was something like, the director said, "Hey, you know, when this wraps, we're going to have 8 to 10 people on the production crew who are going to sue for mental cruelty." And Jim Carrey goes, "And that's different from any other film set."
I loved when Jerry Lawler turned up in his wrestling costume and Andy Kaufman, as in, well,
Jim as Andy.
Jim as Andy turned around and said, "Hey, Elvis rang. He wants his shit back." It's
so funny. He would not leave your man. I know.
Oh my God. Just all the time. Like, so good. And it's just bang, hit after hit after hit. It is hilarious. And there's very touching moments, like the day of the rap. And, you know, just when he speaks about his father, which is why that was really upsetting when you told me that story about the check.
It's so sad, but it's
but
lovely.
But it's actually beautiful. It's not lovely. That it's sad. That's the thing. And this whole experience is, it's not that it's sad. It's poignant and it's beautiful and it's actually art. But yeah, it's very interesting how you can kind of come from it and wonder, did that actually happen? Do people go that deep? You know?
Yeah. And I know I'm skipping forward a bit, but... And at the end, I'll just recommend some other comedians that would be good to watch. But you need to go back before you watch this movie and watch all of the Andy Kaufman clips on YouTube to really understand what's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
You won't get it otherwise. It'll look crazy.
Of course, the movie, this is a movie of a movie.
Of a movie. Before you watch... Yeah, actually, you have to watch all the clips of Andy first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you watch the movie. Then you watch the documentary. And then you listen to our podcast.
Okay, so if you haven't done all the steps in order, reverse.
Yeah, juggle them.
Yeah, if you'd like this and you haven't already watched Man on the Moon, you have to go back and watch it now.
Yeah, but I think if you're a Jim Carrey fan, and I don't say of his fluffier stuff, just of him personally, because he's done some weighty... roles also, and he carries it all off, because he's a comedian, but he's also a very good actor,
insanely good.
And if you like him, you're going to love it anyway.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, look it, you'd be watching The Truman Show, you'd be watching and I really, there are some clips of it in this and I really have to rewatch it now, you know.
Eternal Sunshine
of the Spotless Mind, could not think of the name of it there. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Man on the Moon, obviously. He can go really dark and really kind of the other extreme, like just delirious.
There's no one like him.
No, thank God.
I really like it. I think he'd be a great guy to go for dinner with, like dinner guest.
Oh, he'd be at the dinner party, yeah.
You would have great conversation.
Yeah, you'd have great crack with him and Freddie Mercury.
Mm. Actually, he reminded me a bit of Matthew Modine as well. With,
oh, really?
In the interview we did, yeah. Maybe it was the beard. No, it was the discussion of the interconnectivity
of the universe
and all that business. Yeah,
he got very the philosophy of an artist, and he's a highly intelligent human being.
Yes,
and it's so interesting to see, you know, something like this come out, because like it's just he He has that cheeky smile.
But he totally transforms with Tony Clifton as well.
Yeah, you see that happening on the screen. It's just kind of scary to watch.
It's fantastic.
When he has the prosthetic in it, it looks sore.
Yes, but and his body, his stance.
Yeah, his whole stance. Everything. But even, you know, when he doesn't have the prosthetic fit, the chin job and all the makeup on, his entire physicality, it's beautiful to watch actually how he does it. And, you know, the whole thing he was doing with his mouth and just very, took up smoking. One of his personalities smoked and the other one didn't. And it was all very
I know, I remember when they asked his driver, does he stay in character the whole way home as Tony? And he said, yeah.
Particularly Tony.
Does he get up in the morning and come out as Tony? Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think it's guaranteed that anybody who worked on that film has probably bonded forever.
With him?
With each other.
Well, when he gets emotional a few bits throughout it. But for me, like when Tony Clifton was in character saying how it was very special and, you know, thank you for sharing this with me, and his voice broke a bit.
Mm.
That was really powerful. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I did get tots mush. I did, like, you know.
And when he talks about, you know, I was talking to Jim the other night and we had a bottle of wine. And,
yeah.
You know, he's just, it's the fear.
Yeah. And then you ask yourself, why would somebody put themselves through that? You know, and he talks about the control aspect and when he'd lost control and that comment about the fear, you know, the fear that they won't like it, the fear they won't take it seriously. And it's very easy to see that when you're watching yourself in the third person, you know?
And I took a lot from that, actually, because he said that he watched his father. And his father was very funny, very talented, and was a great musician, but that he had given it up for the job, the accountant's job, so that he could look after his family. And he said he wishes, you know, maybe he had done something differently. And then he said, you can fail at something you hate or you can fail at something you love doing.
Yeah.
So why not fail at the thing that you love doing? And there's this great freedom in that.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, it's interesting to... Like, because he is internalizing and he is telling you his thought process, you kind of feel like you've been invited in to the nine lives that are happening. You know, this kind of amazing alchemy that happens when an actor acts, you know. But in particular, when he's speaking, the director's obviously getting frustrated and he wants to talk to Jim. And Andy is saying, Jim's not here. I haven't seen him all day and you're going to have to talk to Andy and all this. And so he rings Jim. And he said, like, you know, there's two people who've turned up on set and I don't know how to control them and they're pissing everyone off. And that's Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton. And he's like, well, you know, I mean, I'm a good impressionist. I could do a good impression
if you
of
want
Andy
me to
if you want me to.
Go to the surface and just do an impression. I could do impressions.
Yeah.
And then the director said, no, actually, just keep going.
Yeah. And this director too, like Milos Forman, for him to say that, like, it's just... I don't think any other combo would have worked, really.
No.
Just,
they probably would have fired him.
Yeah. Now, he did get some critical acclaim. He did win an Oscar. He didn't win an Oscar. He did win a Golden Globe in 2000 for the best lead actor in a motion picture, comedy or musical. And he also won the SAG Award for Outstanding Performance in Male Actor in the Lead Role, but he was not nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he felt that was a snub.
Well, they do. They tend to snub comedy in general.
Yeah.
They've gotten better in the last couple of years. But generally, they used to snub comedy as a hard and fast rule. And the SAG Award is especially prestigious. So that's kind of a great one to get.
He won it outright, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to him. It's a very interesting to watch if you're interested in the performer versus reality or indeed method acting. There's other method actors like Christian Bale or Daniel Day-Lewis, and you know, you get some idea of how these performances, these very high caliber performances, are actually created. So yeah, it's very much so worth a watch.
Yes.
This director, Chris Smith, does a great job.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. Well edited, I thought, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you like this, you'd like...
I said Amadeus.
Oh.
That's actually Milos Forman's, one of his previous movies.
Yes.
Also, obviously, Man on the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Man on the Moon. There's also one clip, you can find it on YouTube. It's Jim Carrey backstage at a Michael Moore show in New York. and he, it's the first time outside of this movie that you see him talk about himself and his fears. And Trump has just been elected, and he's got some of his art there.
Wow.
And they're amazing, actually. Really great pieces. And he interviews him on stage afterwards. So that's on YouTube. That's a must watch. And if you kind of, if you're into Andy Kaufman-esque comedy, you have to Google Neil Hamburger, Frank the Nazi, who is a spoofer. He's a Sinatra singer, but he changes all the words. It's very funny. Crazy out there people like Tony Law. Stuart Lee also is quite good. Mm. And Jim Jefferies. I love comedians where you, every show you go to, people get up and storm out.
Mm.
And that's a Jim Jefferies show.
Mm.
There are always buttons that he'll push. Probably Tommy Tiernan as well, actually. And some of his other stuff.
Yeah. But it's intelligent stuff. The way Tommy Tiernan comments on something, it's an intelligent observation.
Yeah, they're all intelligent.
Yeah, very clever. Yeah.
But they're all to push buttons beyond the mm-hmm. pushing of buttons. It's not the setup punchline type comedy. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend.
Very good.
Mm. Well, and Bill Hicks.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. There is a Bill Hicks documentary, I think, on Netflix at the moment.
There is.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, and another real just...
A comedy great.
He's going to push it until there's nobody in the way.
Oh, yeah, stop.
So it's a duck that rocks.
This is a duck that rocks.
So that's it for this week.
You're Tracy Ferguson.
I am, and you're Sherita Darcy.
I am.
Goodbye.
See you.